After seemingly endless seconds of suspense, we heard the dull boom as each shell exploded over the ridge and across the valley. Something was wrong, though. I heard one less explosion than the number of shells we had fired. We looked anxiously up at Johnny, who had his eyes glued to the target. Suddenly he spun around, snapped his finger, and stamped his foot. Scowling down at us, he yelled, "Right on target, zeroed in, but the first damned round was a dud. What the hell happened?" We groaned and cursed with frustration. The first shell had gone right through the thatched roof, and the Japanese officers dove for the cave. But the shell didn't explode. Our remaining shells were right on target, too, smashing up and blowing apart the thatched canopy and the table. But the enemy officers were safe inside the cave. Our pinpoint accuracy had been remarkable for a 60-millimeter mortar that normally functioned to neutralize an area with fragments from its bursting shells. Our golden opportunity had vanished because of a dud shell. We set about trying to figure out what had gone wrong. Everybody in the mortar section was cursing and groaning. Suddenly, Snafu accused me of forgetting to pull the safety wire to arm that first shell. I was confident that I had pulled the pin. Some defense worker in an ammunition plant back in the States had made a mistake in the manufacture of the shell, I contended. Snafu wouldn't accept that, and we got into a hot argument. I was angry and frustrated enough myself. We had missed our one chance in a million to avenge the death of our CO. But Snafu was in a rage. It was a matter of pride with him, because he was the gunner, and therefore in command of our mortar crew. Snafu was a good Marine and an expert mortarman. His performance of his duties bore absolutely no resemblance to his nickname, Situation Normal, all fouled up. He felt it was a reflection on him that a chance to clobber several Japanese officers had failed because his assistant gunner hadn't pulled the safety wire on a shell. He was proud of a newspaper clipping from his hometown paper in Louisiana describing the effective fire his mortar gun had poured on the Japs during the bloody fighting for Hill 660 on Cape Gloucester. Snafu was a unique character, known and respected by everybody. The guys loved to kid him about his intrepid mortar gun on Hill 660, and he thrived on it. But this foul-up and escape of those enemy officers because of a dud shell was another matter. As we argued, I knew that unless I could prove the dud wasn't my fault, I'd never hear the end of it from Snafu and the other Company K survivors of Peleliu. Fortunately, luck was on my side. We had fired only a couple of shells to register the gun before Johnny called on us to fire on the Japanese. Consequently, I had an accurate count of the number of rounds we had fired from this position. While Snafu ranted and raved, I crawled around on all fours a few feet in front of the gun. With incredible good luck, I found what I was seeking amid the coral gravel and pulverized plant material. I retrieved the safety wire from each shell we had fired. I held them out to Snafu and said, "Okay, count them, and then tell me I didn't pull the wires on all those rounds." He counted them. We knew that no other 60-millimeter mortar had occupied this newly captured position, so all the wires were ours. I was angry the shell had been a dud and the Japanese had escaped, but I was delighted that it wasn't due to my carelessness. I heard no more about the dud. We all wanted to forget it. Word also came that day that the high command had declared the assault phase of the Palau Islands operation at an end. Many profane and irreverent remarks were made by my buddies to the effect that our leaders were as crazy as hell if they thought that held true on Peleliu. "Somebody from the Division CP needs to come up here and tell them damn nips the assault phase is over," grumbled one man.